We're opening our Bibles this evening in Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 16. Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 16. Just want to read a few verses this evening before we come to consider God's Word, Matthew 16. And we're going to start reading at the verse 13 and just read down to the end of the verse 16. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and the verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. I want to simply look tonight at the two questions that were asked and the two answers that were given. You know, so often in the Lord's ministry, there were those that attacked him for his work and for his witness. And this is what we find at the beginning of Matthew 16 as we enter into this chapter. It tells us in the opening verse that the Pharisees have come along with the Sadducees. And they're there to tempt him. They're there to try and desire him with that desire to find a fault in him. And so they can bring up together a great repertoire and a great list of faults and issues that they can find in Christ Jesus. And after answering them, he departed. And after a time, he tells us that his disciples come to him. Together, he takes them to a place called Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was an area within Gentile territory. In other words, he takes them out of the remit. He takes them out of the edges of Jerusalem and on further out of Judea and out of that area. And he takes them to the north, uttermost parts of the borders of the land of Canaan. By this stage, the Lord is now 120 miles away from Jerusalem. They were in a region which had many different religions and faiths. And so with that background and with all of those thoughts and all of the temples and all of the issues in that area in terms of religion, the Lord then proceeds to ask them the question, "Whom do men say that I am?" You see, within Caesarea Philippi, it was a center for Baal worship. There were shrines also to the Greek god by the name of Pan. Herod the Great had built the temple in honor of Caesar Augustus. So all of these different religions, all of these ideologies, all of these different mythologies in terms of who to turn to and who to trust in and who to pray to, you find them all in Caesarea Philippi. You have those of the Greek gods, you have those of the Baal worship, you even have the man worship whenever they raised up Caesar Augustus. The society there in Caesarea Philippi was very open, very accepting of other religious views, very accepting of any and every faith or none. If someone wanted to believe in something, well, that was fine. Come on ahead to Caesarea Philippi. You're more than welcome. Believe what you want. We'll not judge you. And surely we can see the similarity even with our province today. And even with our nation as a whole, you're allowed to believe whatever you want, or you can believe in nothing. It's completely up to yourself. And you have then all of the different religions that are flooding across our world and across even our own land. You know, in April 2019, a survey was carried out in the state of religion in Northern Ireland. 45% Roman Catholic, 48% the various Protestant denominations, 5,000 Muslims are in Northern Ireland, 400 Jews and about 200 Hindu families, with the rest, which totals up to over 5%, simply said they are non-religious. They will not believe in any religion or any God. You know what was there in that setting of Caesarea Philippi? That setting of liberalism and multi-religiosity, that the Lord Jesus Christ proceeded to ask these two questions. It's important to remember at this stage that the Lord Jesus Christ is very famous. He has preached sermons that have made him unparalleled. Even the great preachers of the past that the people could remember, such as John the Baptist, even John the Baptist said himself, "I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoe." He has performed miracles and feats that were beyond human understanding. Many, if not all, in that area at that time, and indeed across Judea and Jerusalem, had seen or had heard of Jesus Christ. He literally couldn't go anywhere without a crowd following him. And they had seen the power and the evidence of the Lord. They had seen those that were lepers were now without leprosy. Those that were blind now saw. Those that were lame now walked. 5,000 plus had been fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The Lord was able to do it all. And so when he asks these questions, he knows that people know who Christ is. You know, the two questions have a similar subject, but yet a difference in emphasis. D.L. Moody, he said, "It makes a great difference to men what they think of Jesus." In other words, verse 13. "But it makes less of a difference to a man what others think of Jesus than what he thinks." Tonight I want to simply ask these two questions. And I want to apply them, first of all, to our own land and then each one here. So firstly, I want to ask the question tonight, who does Northern Ireland say that Jesus Christ is? Who does Northern Ireland say that Jesus Christ is? As I said earlier, there are many different religions, and many different religious views even within our little province. See, when the days of Christ, when the Lord walked upon this earth, There were various views as to who Christ was. Verse 14 tells us that some saw Christ as a John the Baptist. Some saw him as being the same as Elijah or Elias. Some saw him as being a Jeremiah or another prophet. In other words, the men and the women in that area at that time, in the country at that time, they saw Christ as being a very good man. A very godly man. A man of preaching stock. But only a man. They saw Christ as a natural man instead of a supernatural one. And yet 1 Timothy 3 in the verse 16 it says, "Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh." See, my friend, if Christ was a normal man, there would be no mystery. If the Lord Jesus Christ was just conceived in a normal way, with Joseph and Mary coming together as that married couple and having that child together, then there wouldn't be a mystery. But you see, it's different with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the end of this world. Lord Jesus Christ didn't simply come forth of that marriage between Joseph and Mary. Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when He came to this earth and was veiled in human flesh, He entered into the womb of a virgin. One who had never known a man. And He was born of her. Yet without sin. You see, when Christ became man, He was still God. He never left off from being God, and yet whenever He became man, He became man. That meant that He was still truly God, but yet He was truly man. Two distinct natures, and yet it's all found in the one person, Jesus Christ. That's the great mystery of godliness. You might say, well, how can someone be truly 100% God and yet at 100% the exact same time be man? That's the mystery of godliness. But you consider his earthly life. Every aspect of his earthly life was supernatural. His birth was contrary to the laws of life. His death was contrary to the laws of death. He had no cornfields or fisheries, but he could provide a meal for 5,000 and have bread and fish to spare. He walked on no beautiful carpets or velvet rugs, but he walked in the waters of the Sea of Galilee. 3 years he preached, yet never physically wrote a book. Or built a church with no financial support, and yet 2,000 years later, he is the one central character of all human history. He is the pivot around which the events of the ages revolve, and he is the only redeemer of the human race. You see, surely Jesus Christ was not merely man. Surely the blood shed at Calvary for the redemption of sinners was not normal blood. Christ was and is unique. And yet in those days, some saw him as a John the Baptist, an Elijah. And even to this very day, many see him as being ordinary. And let me say this, you can go down through each of the false religions. And you can study each false religion and you can look at them and you can decide, well, are they plausible, are they right, are they wrong? Here's where they're all going to fall. They'll all fall in Christ. You want to know, is a religion real or not? You want to know, is another religion true or not? You only have to ask them one question. Whom do you say that Christ is? Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that Jesus was a normal man until his baptism. And whenever Jesus was baptized, then he became the Christ. The Mormon will tell you that God the Father and Mary were married in heaven, and their marriage produced Christ. The Muslim will tell you that Christ was one of the great prophets, along with Adam, Abraham, Noah, but that the last and the greatest prophet of all is Muhammad. The Roman Catholic Church will tell you that Jesus Christ alone does not have the capability or the authority to save anyone. And to get the Christ, you need Mary, but you need the Church. The atheist will tell you that there is no God and that Christ was not real. And believing in anyone other than yourself is a waste of time and effort. One thing's clear. We can never make a true decision about Jesus Christ by taking a poll of people. If you were to go around every single door and you were to ask every single household, even in this area, you ask them one question, who do you say Jesus Christ is? What is your opinion? And you did a poll and you took down the results and you asked every single person, who is Jesus Christ? I can guarantee you this, every single answer will be different. You know, today people just follow the crowd. Whatever the popular view or belief on a subject, whether political, moral, social, whatever, if the majority say it, then it must be true. But my friend, the majority belief and opinion does not mean it's right. Indeed, if you look to the world and you follow the world, you follow its belief, this is the reality, you're going to end up in hell. Matthew 7 and the verse 17, it says, wide is the gate Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Let me ask the question this evening, are you following the world? Do you take your opinions on different matters just simply by what you hear in the news? And if the news, media, and all of those things just keep bringing you the same story time and time again, do you just go, well, it must be right because everyone else is believing it? You know, the mob opinion, as it were, the popular opinion on one certain day led to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because it tells us in Jerusalem that they all called out, crucify him. Crucify him. Were they right? Even though Pilate stood up time and time again and he asked the question and he told him, I can't find a fault in this man. But they kept crying and crying, crucify him, crucify him. Tell me, were they right? Tonight, the view that even in Northern Ireland of the Lord Jesus Christ, sadly, for so many is wrong. We even live in a generation today where if you ask them who the Lord Jesus Christ is, he's nothing more than a curse word. And I'm talking even down to the youngest children in schools. Because all they'll ever hear about Jesus is whenever their mum or dad or guardian is angry or upset. Or if you ask the radical left, they'll tell you he's a bigot. Or if you ask those that have molded their own God, they'll tell you, well, he's just a God of love. And that's it. You see, even as it was in Caesarea Philippi, everything is accepted. Every different notion, every different ideology, every different religion, have whatever you want, but don't have Christ. And don't have him the way he wants. Whom does Northern Ireland say that Christ is? But then secondly and finally, I want to bring it to the verse 15. He saith unto them, whom say ye that I am? So secondly and finally, I just want to simply ask the question, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? You see, Christ's question began with a but. Because in that moment, after listening to the answers that the disciples gave, after that list that was given, Christ really just focuses in and he says, every sin in him, look, forget about everyone else. Forget about all their thoughts and opinions. Let's focus this right in. Let's bring this right in just to this little group. Who do you say that I am? So tonight I bring the question inside these four walls. We've already said what the world outside thinks. And I've seen enough people nodding to know that you agree and you have heard so much of this over these last number of years. But now let's bring it inside these four walls and let me bring it into the very point of your heart. And I want you to answer it in your own heart tonight. Who is Jesus Christ to you? What does he mean to you? When I speak of Christ's death on the cross, when I speak of his shedding of His precious blood, when I speak of His death there and His resurrection from the dead, does it have any importance to you at all? Does it mean anything to you? Does it thrill your soul that Christ died for your sin? And Christ endured all of that punishment that you might have forgiveness. Do you believe tonight that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God? See, the Lord Himself said in John 8:24, "For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." That's pretty straight-laced kind of language, isn't it? Do you believe tonight that Christ's death is the only way to have your sins forgiven? 1 John 1, verse 7, it tells us, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth from all sin." Who is Jesus Christ to you? Is He your Savior? Is He the Redeemer of your soul? Has He bought you back with His precious blood? See, today there are many that have made professions. They'll profess to know Jesus Christ. But my friend, let's be very honest, Christ isn't looking for professions. Christ is looking for confessions. As He says in Romans 10, verse 9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Did you notice Peter's response whenever the Lord asked the question, "Whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and he said, "Thou art the Christ." Straight away, Peter had no reservation. He had no need to think. He had no need to try and conjure up an answer that was going to sound good in the Lord's ears. Immediately he answered. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He confessed with his mouth the Lord Jesus. And he believed it from his heart. See, Romans 10 and 9, in reality, it shows a confession, but it also shows a possession. He confessed with his mouth, that's the confession. He believed in the heart, that's the possession. Because you see, Christianity and salvation, it's not just simply there in your head. It's in your heart. And salvation starts in the inside and it works its way out. Doesn't work from inside out, it works from outside in. Or inside out. It's possession. Song of Solomon 2 in the verse 16 it says, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." You say without assurance tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Can you add that word, "my"? Or are you saying tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Is He your Savior? Is He your friend? Even in this sinful world, even with all of the liberalism and all of the atheism and all of the false teaching that there is, are you willing to take your stand and say, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior? As Peter did in his day. There in Caesarea Philippi, in that setting with everything that was going on around him, with the backdrop of the temples and all of the false gods and everything else, Peter said, thou art the Christ. Will you confess Christ tonight? Can you leave this hall tonight saying, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior and my God? My friend, tonight the reality is this: if you don't have that confession, you don't have that possession, you're heading for hell. Doesn't matter who you are. There's only one way to heaven. And Jesus is that way. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through Christ and His cross. There's no other way. That's why that question is so important. And I'm going to ask it one last time. Who is Jesus Christ to you?